This is Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen, coming to you Tuesday, June 13th, 2006. Early Thursday morning, June 8th, U.S. time, Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, flanked by General George Casey, the top U.S. commander in Iraq, and Zalmay Khalilzad, the American ambassador, held a press conference in Baghdad's heavily fortified Green Zone to announce that U.S. forces had killed Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, along with five other people, in a U.S. air attack on a house outside Bakuva, a town northeast of Baghdad. Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, the nom de plume of Ahmed Fadl al-Khalela, was terminated, according to Maliki. A U.S. military spokesman later acknowledged that two 500-pound bombs had been dropped Wednesday evening, a GBU-12 laser guided by a drone and a GBU-38 with pinpoint accuracy coordinated by the pilot. The two 500-pound bombs left a crater 40 feet wide. Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. He was the Z-word, the villain for all occasions, writes John F. Burns in the New York Times, June 11th, most wanted now. Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. He was the devil's pimpernel, Burns writes, now in Fallujah, now in Baghdad, now in Mosul. He moved undetected across the map that was an obstacle course of checkpoints and curfews and roadside explosions and traffic backups behind military convoys. There was a $25 million American bounty on his head, the highest, the same as that on Osama bin Laden. The military had created an AQIZ degradation chart, which denoted the breakup of al-Qaeda in Iraq. Zarqawi was the killing machine, they said, who led al-Qaeda in Iraq. President Bush, from the White House, June 9th, released this statement. Last night in Iraq, United States military forces killed the terrorist al-Zarqawi at 6:15 p.m. Baghdad time. Special operations forces, acting on tips and intelligence from Iraqis, confirmed Zarqawi's location and delivered justice to the most wanted terrorist in Iraq. Zarqawi, Bush said, was the operational commander of the terrorist movement in Iraq. He led a campaign of car bombings, assassinations, and suicide attacks that he has taken the lives of many American forces and thousands of innocent Iraqis. Osama bin Laden called this Jordanian terrorist the prince of al-Qaeda in Iraq, Bush said. He called on terrorists around the world to listen to him and obey him. Zarqawi, Bush stated, personally beheaded American hostages and other civilians in Iraq. He masterminded the destruction of the United States headquarters in Baghdad. He was responsible for the assassination of an American diplomat in Jordan and the bombing of a hotel in Amman. Bush said that through his every action, Zarqawi sought to defeat America and our coalition partners and turn Iraq into a safe haven from which al-Qaeda could wage its war on free nations. To achieve these ends, he worked to divide Iraqis and incite civil war. Those are the words of President George Bush from the White House, June 9th. Today on Taking Aim, WAG the Villain, the U.S. invention of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. Ralph?
Maya, from the earliest moments with respect to Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, we were in the presence of a classic example of what is called PSYOPs, and there has been no lack of documentation about the invention of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi by the United States intelligence services and notably the military and the Pentagon. Here in the Washington Post on April 10, 2006, a seminal article by Thomas Ricks called Military Plays Up Role of Zarqawi, Jordanian Painted as Foreign Threat to Iraq's Stability. The United States military is conducting a propaganda campaign. magnifying the role of a leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq according to internal military documents and officers familiar with the program. The effort has deliberately raised his profile in a way that military intelligence officials acknowledge overstates his importance and enabled the Bush administration to tie the war to the organization supposedly responsible for the September 11, 2001 attacks. And what this article in the Washington Post discloses is that the documents that they have uncovered make clear that the United States campaign was a deliberate reinvention of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, quote, to turn Iraqis against a Jordanian, playing on a perceived dislike of foreigners. In fact, the U.S. authorities claimed success, noting that tribal Iraqi insurgents have distanced themselves and even attacked what are called Zarqawi loyalists. For 2 years, United States military leaders have deployed Iraqi media and outlets in Baghdad to publicize Zarqawi's role. The documents explicitly list U.S. home audience as the target of a broad propaganda campaign. The article is very clear here. This is a deliberate falsification, invention, propaganda, fabrication, wagging the villain. Senior intelligence officials and officers state that Zarqawi's role was overemphasized by a propaganda campaign which included leaflets, radio and television broadcasts, internet postings, and leaks to American journalists. Zarqawi and other foreign insurgents have been recreated. In fact, quote, they are a very small part of the actual numbers of those resisting the occupation. Colonel Derek Harvey, who served as military intelligence officer in Iraq and one of the top officers handling Iraq intelligence issues and on the staff of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, told an army meeting at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas last summer that this was a falsification campaign. In a transcript of the meeting, Harvey is quoted, "Our focus on Zarqawi has enlarged a caricature. We have made him far more important than he really is. The long-term threat is neither Zarqawi or religious extremists, but those former members of the regimes and their supporters throughout the country," said Harvey, who would not return a phone call seeking comments on his disclosed remarks. The Washington Post continues. This is a particularly important article for what it reveals about the nature of PSYOPs in relation to the United States.
Mom. And also the relationship of the U.S. media in relationship to the military and other parts of the U.S. government in orchestrating this PSYOPs. Because in this article by Thomas Ricks, Military Plays Up Role of Zarqawi, from April 10th, 2006, he mentions in particular a very noted and respected journalist who writes about the war in Iraq, and that's Dexter Filkins of the New York Times, the New York Times reporter who's based in Baghdad. And what is admitted, and Filkins has confirmed that this is so, is that the military had a, quote, selective leak about Zarqawi that was made to Dexter Filkins, and that Filkins then wrote an article. The topic was a letter supposedly written by Zarqawi and boasting of suicide attacks in Iraq.
Entirely invented.
The New York Times ran this article by Filkins on its front page February 9th, 2004. Now, the leaks to reporters from U.S. officials in Iraq are common, Ricks writes, but official evidence of a propaganda operation using an American reporter is the what is cited here. And Filkins was reached by email. He said he was not told at the time that there was a psychological operations campaign aimed at Zarqawi, but he assumed that the military was releasing the letter, quote, because had it decided it was in its best interest to have it publicized. Well, Mr. Filkins, you are a noted reporter for the New York Times, and if you don't think that this leak is part of a PSYOPs campaign, then I think you should question your intelligence at the moment, or your blinders. What is going on, Mr. Filkins?
Well, Maya, it's very clear here, because Filkins admits He admits when he interviewed himself that he was skeptical about the document's authenticity then and remains so now, even as he was promoting it in the New York Times at the behest of the U.S. military. This is a very clear indication of the real role of the bourgeois media in the United States. And what the Washington Post piece makes clear is that a briefing slide about U.S. strategic communications in Iraq, which was prepared for Army General George W. Casey, Jr., the top U.S. commander in Iraq, describes, quote, the home audience, unquote, as one of six major targets of a PSYOPs campaign by the military. That slide, which was created by Casey subordinates, makes clear that U.S. citizens are targeted for a disinformation effort and that the direct military efforts have been used for controlling the U.S. media to dictate views of the war. One slide in the same briefing notes, quote, selective leaks, and that's where the information specific to Zarqawi is disclosed as having been made for Dexter Filkins. Dexter Filkins was simply selected as a vehicle for, quote, an official propaganda operation using an American reporter.
Ralph, Brigadier General Mark Kimmett, the U.S. military chief spokesman when the propaganda campaign began in 2004. Now, this is what they talk about, the PSYOPs campaign of 2004. We have to remember that the PSYOPs campaign began a lot earlier, right after 2001 with the decision to go into Iraq, and then particularly, as we'll discuss later, with then Secretary of State Colin Powell's presentation at the United Nations, where he promoted...
He invented Zarqawi,
and particularly, as the United States government now must admit, as Zarqawi, as a very close associate of Saddam Hussein...
Al-Zarqawi.
And as Al-Zarqawi, the propagator of poison campaigns that were going to, with ricin and other poisons that were going to be launched on the United States and Europe. But Brigadier General Mark Kimmett, in response to this article in the Washington Post, said, quote, there was no attempt to manipulate the press. We trusted Dexter to write an accurate story and we gave him a good scoop. The scoop, however, Filkins admits he doubted the accuracy, yet he goes on to report it. The scoop is disinformation, as you say, Ralph.
And it's interesting because the one of the responses is from Army Colonel James A. Treadwell, who commanded the U.S. military PSYOPs unit in Iraq in 2003, in which he says, well, the stuff we provided was in Arabic, and it was first aimed at the Iraqi and Arab media. And then the officer admitted, of course, our Zarqawi campaign probably raised his profile in the American press, unquote. Talk about understatement. The U.S. Special Operations Command, which focuses on trans-regional media issues, has acknowledged that there's going to be a certain amount of bleed over with the global information environment, which is doublespeak for the manipulation of the press with false planted stories designed to create an entire fabricated scenario of which Al-Zarqawi is a acknowledged and primary instance. What are we looking at here?
Well, Ralph, let's look a little closely at the PSYOPs campaign because it involves leaflets that are distributed throughout Iraq. It also involves planting stories in the Iraqi press. And as Treadwell admits, we provide stuff, he says, stuff is his word, it's all in Arabic. And then what they note, and the Army notes this right away, that because of satellite television, email, and the Internet, there's, quote, carryover of these propaganda campaigns into the U.S. media,
yes.
What they call bleed over.
But, Maya, what they do is they first release this material in Arabic, And then having given it to the press like the Dexter Filkins, they ascribe credibility to their disinformation by citing its Arabic language origins. And here we have a formal acknowledgement. The Zarqawi campaign, this is in the Washington Post article, is discussed in several internal military documents. Quote, villainize Zarqawi, leverage a xenophobic response, one U.S. military briefing from 2004 stated, and it lists specific methods, quote, media operations, Special Op 626, which is a reference to Task Force 626, an elite U.S. military unit assigned primarily for the preparation of PSYOPs operations and the pursuit of former officials of the government of Saddam Hussein. But in an internal briefing produced by the U.S. military headquarters in Iraq, General Kimmett states the Zarqawi PSYOP program is our most successful information campaign to date. The Zarqawi PSYOP program is the most successful information. Brothers and sisters, this is a clear demonstration. We will illustrate this throughout this broadcast. Al-Zarqawi is a fiction, an invention, a fabrication, a design terrorist invented by the United States authorities, replete with their own created events suitable to their purposes, and this will illuminate who is involved in the so-called sectarian disputes, who is responsible for the random killing of civilians, the blowing up of mosques, and the instigation of internecine conflict within Iraq. Kimmett, there is an information campaign, clearly, to raise awareness of Zarqawi with an international audience. We are seeking to drive a wedge into the insurgency, emphasizing Zarqawi terrorist acts, said officers familiar with the U.S. program. Aggressive strategic communications is what it's called. Here is the theme. Abu Musab al-Zarqawi represents terrorism in Iraq, foreign fighters in Iraq, suffering of Iraqi people, infrastructure attacks, denial of Iraqi aspirations, and internecine ethnic conflict. This briefing asserts this is their agenda. This is their fabricated campaign ascribed to Zarqawi and actually describing U.S. operations themselves, as we will document in this broadcast.
Well, Ralph, it's very clear, even to the Chicago Tribune writer Mark Silva, what the purpose was of these 500-pound bombs, 40-foot crater, and the supposed, and we will say supposed, identification of a man killed on the site as Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. Death of al-Zarqawi boosts Bush's popularity. Remember, they refer to this as a war on terrorism, a just war. The long war, says Secretary of Defense of Offense of Aggression, Donald Rumsfeld. In the heady days, writes Mark Silva, following the capture of former Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein, found hiding in a spider hole, President Bush found a momentary boost in public support, with his approval peaking at 63%. And then he goes on to say that the killing of al-Zarqawi, combined with signs that the new Iraqi government is gaining control over the insurgency, could give Bush a significant lift, said Representative Ray LaHood, Republican of Illinois. He met with Bush and other congressmen Wednesday and told the president that catching al-Zarqawi could, quote, really give a boost to the new government and the military forces. I think it's going to help the president in the eyes of the public. There is a war fatigue. Bush's approval rating had reached a low of 31% in the Gallup poll, the lowest that any president had ever had as far as Gallup polls. And that had been reached,
our concern,
in early May. And it had turned slightly upward to 36% in the last survey, June 1st through 4th. but ratings under 40, according to the Tribune, remain a political liability for the Republican Party as it prepares for midterm congressional elections in November. And the GOP is fighting to control Congress.
Well, Maya, I think it's important to emphasize here that the exposure of the PSYOPs and the invention of Zarqawi has been amply documented in the established media.
Well, Ralph, but let's first look at what's happened since the death of the man they call al-Zarqawi. Bush's overall decline in ratings had a significant boost. His ratings are going up. Ralph.
Hyping Zarqawi, April 14th, 2004. This is Rolling Stone. The Zarqawi PSYOP program is the most successful information campaign to date. Brigadier General Mark Kemet, in an internal 2004 memo praising the propaganda campaign to invent terrorist mastermind Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. I'm frankly amazed, writes the Rolling Stone in this article. I'm frankly amazed that the Washington Post story hasn't gotten more play. It exposes that the Bush administration has never stopped lying to the American people about supposed threats in Iraq. Just as it did with weapons of mass destruction before the war, the administration has hyped a threat posed by an invented Zarqawi during the occupation, this time to make it seem as though Iraq were a vital part of a battle with al-Qaeda. Today we know that Zarqawi is the mastermind of the insurgency, the diabolical plotter behind suicide and roadside bombs and the attacks on mosques and the civilian population, has been an invention. The administration has spun this line, and American media, myself included, writes the author of this Rolling Stone piece, swallowed this hook, line, and sinker. It turns out that Zarqawi has been shamelessly hyped as a psychological operation aimed at Iraqis and at the American public. And then he cites, last summer, Colonel Derek Harvey, the top military intelligence officer in Iraq, who handled Iraq intelligence for the Joint Chiefs of Staff, acknowledged to a gathering of American brass that Zarqawi's violence represents a very small part. The long-term threat is neither Zarqawi or religious extremists, he writes. Our own focus on Zarqawi has, with deliberation, enlarged his caricature, if we will. We have made him far more important than he actually is. And in documents that the Washington Post obtained, the Rolling Stone article discloses that the effort to hype Zarqawi was designed to unify Iraqis who would blame the meddling and the violence on outsiders, and to make Zarqawi the endearing symbol stateside to justify the U.S. presence in Iraq. The top U.S. commander in Iraq, the Rolling Stone points out, General Casey, has made PowerPoint slides that are startling in that they show how naked and calculating this deception of the American people was in its description of the home audience as the major target of the propaganda effort. The text is called Operation Villainize Zarqawi. Brothers and sisters, what could be more clear? Here's the St. Petersburg Times. Now we're in March 5th, 2004. He's a one-legged, 30-something mastermind who allegedly spread terror in a dozen countries, a veteran of two wars in Afghanistan, wanted by the United States since an American diplomat was gunned down in Jordan almost 2 years ago. Abu Musab al-Zarqawi has emerged as the leading target for U.S. forces fighting an insurgency in Iraq. He is blamed for a spate of deadly bombings against Shiite Muslims aimed at fomenting civil war. At fomenting civil war, as if the insurgency's objective is to instigate a civil war within their own population, as opposed to targeting their enemy, the occupying forces themselves. And this article in the St. Petersburg Times goes on. Zarqawi, who once led an al-Qaeda training camp in Afghanistan, has been a convenient villain for U.S. interests for at least a year. It was Secretary of State Colin Powell who cited his residency in Iraq as proof that Saddam Hussein was harboring al-Qaeda terrorists tied to Osama bin Laden. Now, what's instructive about this St. Petersburg Times article, as we will continue to disclose, is that the basis for ascribing and a relationship between Saddam Hussein and Abu Musab al-Zarqawi is that Abu Musab al-Zarqawi was having his leg amputated in a Baghdad hospital and a prosthesis fitted because of the severe injuries that he received from a U.S. bombing attack previous, which caused his leg to be removed and amputated. And that becomes of great importance, this acknowledgement, and it's ironic that the utilization of Zarqawi, al-Zarqawi, by Colin Powell in his famous speech before the UN, which completely fabricated the so-called weapons of mass destruction and the role of al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein, was pinned to the sudden orchestration of a figure who had been entirely unknown, this man, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. And furthermore, as the St. Petersburg Times cites, the linchpin of this reinvention was the beginning of a series of bomb attacks on Shiite Muslim worshippers in Baghdad and Karbala, the first killing 185 people and wounding 600 on the Shiites' holiest day of the year. And this is where the RAND Corporation comes in, brothers and sisters, and I think this is a very important revelation in the St. Petersburg Times. The RAND Corporation was contracted to reinvent al-Zarqawi. He has become a new prince in the al-Qaeda movement, said John Parachini, the policy analyst on terrorism and weapons proliferation at the RAND Corporation. Indeed, if bin Laden were to go down tomorrow, he is one of the top people that we will be concerned about, and his stature must be raised. So here we have it. They have fabricated this man, and by the way, the acts that are attributed to him, namely the internecine conflict and the bloodletting throughout Iraq with respect to the bombings of mosques and civilian centers, attributed to him, U.S. operations themselves.
Ralph, let's look in some detail at former Secretary of State Colin Powell's address February 5th, 2003, to the United Nations Security Council, which, as you said, set out the disinformation about weapons of mass destruction, the basis for the attack on Iraq, and the war on terror. And what Powell stated, he starts with, our concern is not just about illicit weapons, it's the ways these illicit weapons can be connected to terrorists and terrorist organizations. And he goes on particularly to talk about how in Iraq, Saddam Hussein is harboring a deadly terrorist network headed by Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, an associate and collaborator of Osama bin Laden and his al-Qaeda lieutenants. He says particularly that one of Zarqawi's specialties is poisons. When our coalition ousted the Taliban, the Zarqawi network helped establish another poison and explosive training center camp, and this camp is located in northeastern Iraq. And he showed a picture of the camp, which was the Ansar al-Islam camp in northern Iraq. The network is teaching its operative how to produce ricin and other poisons. Let me remind you, Powell said, how ricin works. Less than a pinch, imagine a pinch of salt, less than a pinch of ricin, eating just this amount in your food would cause shock followed by circulatory failure. Death comes within 72 hours, and there is no antidote, there is no cure, it is fatal. Powell goes on to say how Zarqawi and his network were in the Middle East and had links to North Africa and were setting up a European network. But the basis of this poison camp was Ansar al-Islam camp in northern Iraq. And it's important to remember because this camp was later visited, was later investigated by the U.S. military and their weapons of mass destruction team, and they found absolutely nothing. What Powell says, we know about this European network and we know about its links to Zarqawi because they had information provided by a detainee, and the targets also provided the names of members of information about targets and the names of members of the network. They said Zarqawi and his colleagues were also active in the Pankisi Gorge of Georgia and in Chechnya, Russia, and that members of Zarqawi's network say their goal is to kill Russians with toxins. Again, he goes on, terrorism has been a tool used by Saddam for decades. Saddam was a supporter of terrorism long before these terrorist networks had a name, and this support continues. Ralph?
Well,
before we go on, Ralph, it's time for a station identification. You're listening to Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen, and we'll return after this brief station ID.
This is Lawrence Block, and you're listening to WBAI in New York City. Listener-supported and non-commercial.
This is Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Ralph?
Yes, Maya, the St. Petersburg Times. What is known publicly about Zarqawi's activities came from Powell's speech to the United States Security Council in February 2003. And here he cited al-Zarqawi as proof that Saddam Hussein was harboring al-Qaeda terrorists. This is where we're told that Zarqawi planned and funded the assassination of American diplomat Lawrence Foley in Amman, that he planned two sets of suicide bombings in Istanbul, that from 1999 to 2003, Zarqawi sent al-Qaeda operatives to conduct bombing operations in Israel and chemical attacks in Great Britain and Germany and European nations, that a Pakistani who was tortured and was put on trial for plotting to attack Jewish sites in Berlin stated that he was working for Zarqawi, and that he was convicted in Jordan in absentia for al-Qaeda attacks against the Radisson SAS Hotel in Amman and other Western targets. Interesting that all of the Israeli guests at that hotel were instructed not to go there prior to the bombing, and there were no Israelis there. The role of the Mossad transparent. And what we're looking at here is the use of the UN as a vehicle not only to provide a Security Council resolution warranting an attack on Iraq, but to invent this demonic figure to amplify that of Osama bin Laden. And here is what is very instructive about the report in the St. Petersburg Times. Zarqawi was wounded while fighting U.S.-led forces in Afghanistan in 2002, Powell said. But by May 2002, he was at a Baghdad hospital, quote, where his wounded leg was amputated. He was fitted with a prosthesis and returned to Iran by the time U.S.-led forces attacked Iraq. Yes, Iran, the Shiite center, which is supposedly the target of al-Zarqawi. But here is an amplification cited in the St. Petersburg Times, and we will return to the significance of this momentarily. The Associated Press has confirmed that a leaflet circulated in Fallujah, a Sunni stronghold west of Baghdad, states that the artificial leg made it impossible for Zarqawi to escape U.S. bombing in the mountains of northern Iraq, and he was killed. He was killed. The Associated Press called the family. He's not in contact with us. We don't know anything about him. Don't call again. And she then hung up. 57 members of the al-Zarqawi or the al-Khalila family had repudiated what was attributed to al-Zarqawi dissociated themselves from this, the 57 members of the family, acknowledging the reinvention of our Zarqawi. And indeed, U.S. troops intercepted a letter, they claim, in which Zarqawi is supposedly planning to foment civil war by attacking Shiite Muslims. And here we have the designation of Shiites by Zarqawi, but in a letter that the military produces, part of their PSYOPs program and integral to the reinvention of al-Zarqawi. It calls Shiites, quote, the most evil of mankind, the lurking snake, the crafty and malicious scorpion, the spying enemy, and the penetrating venom. Imagine. Bear in mind, brothers and sisters, that this demonic representation of the Shia, which is the majority population of Iraq, and the overwhelming majority of the population of Iran, where supposedly al-Zarqawi is taking shelter and refuge while he's fomenting a massacre war against the Shiite population. To put this in a particular context, Osama bin Laden's mother is a Shiite. Not only is she a Shiite, but she is a member of the Alawite, which is a particularly marginal Shiite sect that has a sway in Syria, where the Alawites are the dominant governing party. And Osama bin Laden is close to his mother. The point about this, of course, is that the very notion that either something called Al-Qaeda, let alone the resistance in Iraq, would foment a war on the Shiite population and demonize them as devils and snakes worthy of extermination is clearly an integral part of this PSYOPs program of the United States military itself. Zarqawi is only one piece of the puzzle, said Mary Jane Deep, as quoted in the St. Petersburg Times. We don't know who is really doing this in Iraq. This man is an outsider. He could not be working in Iraq. You cannot simply be a Jordanian marching around and giving orders and blowing people up, quote, unquote. We are in the presence of a false flag operation, the paradigm, a particularly genocidal and vicious campaign which has resulted in wholesale slaughter of civilian populations across Iraq attributed to this invented figure and the works of the United States military itself.
Ralph, they couldn't get straight what he was. At times they were calling him a Palestinian and then a Jordanian. In fact, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi comes from a very long-standing Bedouin family and is from a city outside, an industrial city outside of Amman. And finally, they now refer to him as the Jordanian al-Zarqawi with a campaign to overthrow the monarchy, the Hashemite monarchy.
The Al-Khalila clan is part of the Bani Hassan tribe, if you like. There are 350,000. It's really a nationality. And there are Palestinians who are part of the Bani Hassan tribe, if you wish. But as you say, I mean, this is completely, utterly besides the point, and there's no relationship between al-Zarqawi and the Palestinian movement. This is part of the further demonization.
I want to return to former Secretary of State Colin Powell's speech before the United Nations, because this speech was very important in fueling the flames for providing the rationale for the invasion of Iraq. And he rested upon the biological and chemical attacks that were going to be sponsored and fomented by the alleged al-Zarqawi. Powell's UN statement rested on the existence of the chemical and biological weapons plant in northern Iraq. As I mentioned before, that was going to produce rice and sarin and other biological weapons and to be used in terror attacks throughout the United States and Western Europe. And at one point, the Homeland Security had even launched an alert because of a false FBI report that there was going to be a sarin attack, or a poison attack. It wasn't necessarily sarin. And people went out and they were buying tape to put plastic over their windows and all sorts of things. Now, with reference to this North Iraqi facility, the London Observer correspondent in Northern Iraq, on February 9th, 2003, a report refuted Colin Powell's statement, actually visited the camp. The Ansar al-Islam camp was visited by journalists at the invitation of the Ansar al-Islam movement. Quote, "There is no sign of chemical weapons anywhere, only the smell of paraffin and vegetable butter used for cooking. In the kitchen, I discovered some chopped up tomatoes, but not much else. The cook had left his Kalashnikov propped neatly against the wall. Ansar al-Islam, the Islamic group that uses the compound, identified as a military headquarters by Powell, yesterday invited me and several other foreign journalists into their territory for the first time. We are just a group of Muslims trying to do our duty," Mohammed Hassan, spokesman for Ansar al-Islam, explained. "We don't have any drugs for our fighters. We don't even have any aspirin. How can we produce chemicals or weapons of mass destruction?" A few weeks later, there were U.S. special forces, together with the embedded journalists, entered the alleged chemical biological weapons facility in northern Iraq. Now, an ABC report, Jim Scioto was embedded with the U.S. Special Forces in northern Iraq, and his report on ABC News, March 29, 2003. This is a little over a month after, almost 2 months after the Colin Powell statement about the weapons of mass destruction, the production of ricin and sarin and other biological weapons at the Ansar al-Islam camp, fomented by none other than Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. Quote, "What they found, that is, they meaning the special forces, was a camp devastated by cruise missile strikes during the first days of the war. A specialized biochemical team scoured the rubble for samples. They wore protective masks as they entered a building they suspected was a weapons lab. Inside they found mortar shells, medical supplies, and grim prison cells, but no immediate proof of chemical or biological weapons." And he goes on, "For this unit, such evidence would have been a so-called smoking gun, proof that it has banned weapons. But instead, this was a disappointing day for these troops on the front line of the hunt for weapons of mass destruction here." That's Jim Scioto, ABC News, March 29th, 2003.
Maya, the Atlantic Monthly, or the Atlantic publication in July-August for 2006, the current issue, Mary Ann Weaver, "The Short Violent Life of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi: How a Video Store Clerk and Small-Time Crook Was Reinvented as America's Nemesis in Iraq." Now, it's interesting because this is a very long and detailed article, and in it are extraordinary revelations regarding who this man really was. It says, "As I sped along the highway, I tried to recall the often contradictory descriptions I had heard of this man. U.S. officials had reported often in 2002 that al-Zarqawi had one of his legs amputated in Baghdad. The claim meant to substantiate the link between al-Zarqawi and Saddam Hussein's regime. Later, we see him walking in a videotape, clearly in possession of both his legs. Bush administration officials have called him a Jordanian Palestinian. In fact, he came from the most influential Bedouin tribe. He was often reported dead, only to rise again. In recent years, it has been suggested that he didn't exist at all. This man is hard to distinguish from the myth," she acknowledges. Now, a particular aspect of the real Abu Musab al-Zarqawi is that he had been imprisoned in Jordan for a substantial time and has been acknowledged as a for-hire bully and thug, a bootlegger, a heavy drinker, a pimp in Zarqawi's underworld, disruptive, constantly involved in brawls, participating in robberies of relatives' homes. This is a man who is a classic lumpen, lowlife, who had been deployed by the police and the authorities. He was for hire, and he was covered in tattoos, and that becomes important with respect to the later fabrications and reinventions of this patsy mole false flag instrument of insidious U.S. intelligence. Zarqawi's friends acknowledge a one-legged man who would want to marry him. Description of Zarqawi with his amputated leg and prosthesis is replete with multiple examples of those who knew him, those who were part of the family who had acknowledged that he had lost his leg and that the circumstances of his so doing are totally incompatible with his later representations. And there's a very concrete example of that in the most famous crime attributed to him, which is the beheading of Nicholas Berg. But by the way, one of the things that the authorities have attributed to Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, as I mentioned, was a series of terror attacks for New Year's Eve 1999, which became known as the Millennium Plot, involving the bombing of Christian landmarks and tourist sites, along with the Radisson Hotel in Amman. This was supposedly the first major al-Zarqawi terrorist attack. And as the Atlantic Monthly acknowledges, all of the Israelis left early and were not in the Radisson when it was bombed. As I mentioned before, we're dealing here with a classical false flag operation. And another aspect of this is the presumptive meeting between al-Zarqawi and Osama bin Laden, which is the Atlantic Monthly discloses. Israeli intelligence acknowledged it was loathing at first sight. Quote, bin Laden distrusted and disliked al-Zarqawi immediately. He suspected the group of Jordanian prisoners with whom al-Zarqawi had been granted amnesty by the King of Jordan, no less, and he suspected that al-Zarqawi was part of an operation. He disliked his swagger, the green tattoos across his body and on his left hand, which he considered un-Islamic. He came across to bin Laden, according to Israeli intelligence, as aggressive, ambitious, abrasive, overbearing, and his hatred of Shiites struck bin Laden as totally divisive. And here it states, bin Laden's mother, to whom he remains close, is a Shiite from the Alawites of Syria. And here is al-Zarqawi. Shiites should be executed. Shiites should be executed, he declares. This is the confirmation in the mainstream press of the disinformation campaign that is orchestrated by the United States military authorities. And here is another interesting aspect of this. Al-Zarqawi, we are told, is suddenly located in Ain el-Helwe, the largest Palestinian refugee camp in the south of Lebanon. Now, Maya and I lived in Ain el-Helwe at the time of the Israeli attack on Ain el-Helwe and invasion of Lebanon in 1982. It is the most militant of the Palestinian camps in Lebanon. It was largely the base of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, and it was a camp that was the site of mass graves and massacres by the Israeli forces, which we've described in the Hidden History of Zionism. Al-Zarqawi has no reason to be located in Al-Helwe other than to create a demonized Palestinian connection to the terrorism that was unfolding as a program of the United States authorities in Iraq.
The contradictions in the between the presentation by the U.S. military and the U.S. Department of Defense, the U.S. President, and the reality of reporters find when they actually do some research about Abu Musab al-Zarqawi has been in the press, as Ralph has pointed out, but they do downplay it, and they do then also promote the PSYOP's presentation of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. Jeffrey Gettleman in the New York Times wrote a profile June 9, 2006. Abu Musab al-Zarqawi lived a brief, shadowy life replete with contradictions. Note, he calls it contradictions, and yet, when you read his article, he is actually pinpointing much of the disinformation. His life story was riddled with contradictions. He was close to Saddam Hussein. He was fighting Mr. Hussein. He had two legs. He had one. He was Palestinian. He was Jordanian. He was right-handed. He was left-handed. He was a cunning leader. He was an illiterate brute. Now, these are all presentations that have been part of the official fiction, and which the United States presents at one point, one statement, and then a number of months later, because of contradictions, presents another. Then Gettleman continues, as the Iraqi insurgency increased, American military officials increasingly blamed Mr. Zarqawi for the bloodshed. Military officials portrayed him as a global threat on the scale of Osama bin Laden and shared letters they say he wrote. Note, Gettleman says, they say he wrote, urging sectarian war in Iraq. However, several people who knew Mr. Zarqawi well, including former cellmates, voiced doubts about his abilities to be an insurgent leader or the leader of anything. And then Gettleman's article, this is a profile, goes on to point out more of the contradictions. In the second part of this two-part program, WAG the Villain, the U.S. invention of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, we will go into many more of these contradictions, including the notorious videotapes of the beheading of Nicholas Berg. But meanwhile, let's look at some of the other fabrications from Colin Powell. When Powell warned that it would be easy for terrorists to cook up radioactive dirty bombs to explode in the United States, ABC quoted this. This was in the Daily News, the 10th of February, 2003. And the ABC network warned that American hotels, shopping malls, or apartment buildings could be Al-Qaeda's targets as soon as next week. And as I mentioned before, Americans rushed to purchase duct tape, plastic sheets, and gas masks, and it turned out that this was on a false FBI statement, and the FBI then blamed the CIA for this fake information, and despite it all, Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge maintained an Orange Code alert throughout the United States because it was in the interest of the powers that be to create mass hysteria at the time, and at the root, they were saying, was Abu Musab al-Zarqawi.
Maya, in the Atlantic Monthly, it becomes very clear. She interviews an intelligence operative associated with the Mossad. The Americans have been patently stupid in all of this. They've blown Zarqawi so out of proportion that they've created his prestige. As a result, there are sleeper cells now all over Europe coming to join him now. Your government is creating a self-fulfilling prophecy. Western and Israeli diplomats to whom I spoke all share this view. The Washington Post reports on Pentagon documents that detail a U.S. military campaign to inflate al-Zarqawi's importance. The image in the Muslim world has been set. Now, this is on the eve of the Shia population and its leadership deciding to join the insurgency. This is the important timing of this. We have to pay close attention to this. On the eve of a national resistance being forged in Iraq, in which the official Shia leadership is going to join the insurgency, al-Zarqawi is trotted out to do what? He inaugurates a notorious wave of hostage beheadings, specializing in suicide and truck bombings of Shiite shrines and mosques, largely in Shiite neighborhoods, I'm quoting from the Atlantic Monthly. His primary aim is to provoke a civil war. Quote, if we succeed in dragging the Shia into a sectarian war, he purportedly wrote in a letter, which was what? Presented by U.S. forces and released in February 2004. This will awaken the sleepy Sunnis who are fearful of destruction and death at the hands of the Shia. What are we having released from the United States authorities? That the main purpose is to turn the Sunni against the Shia and to create an uncontrollable bloodletting between the two populations across Iraq. Arkawi courted chaos.
Ralph,
in Iraq.
This goes back to the strategy for Israel in the 80s, the Odedinon document, which is to create internecine war to get the different sects and groups fighting within a country to fracture the countries.
Yes, you're absolutely right, because as we describe in the Hidden History of Zionism, Maya, the Odedinon document, a strategy for the 1980s, is the seminal document for the neocons and for the PNAC, the Project for a New American Century, which calls for the fragmentation of, and the first target is Iraq, by the way, in this document, fragmentation of each Arab country into its ethnic and religious components, and to instigate this internecine conflict. This is a program of imperialism, and it is explicit. This is the disinformation project of the United States authorities, and here we have a confirmation in the Atlantic Monthly, and there's one further point that we made, Maya, from the Atlantic Monthly before we conclude part one. Quote, and this is extremely important because she is talking to U.S. officials. One of them said, six times we could have killed Zarqawi and did not. Six times we had him in our sights and declined to act. On three occasions, between mid-2002 and the invasion of Iraq, the Pentagon presented plans to the White House to destroy the Karmal camp, according to the Wall Street Journal. The White House refused to act on this, and three further times, Jordanian intelligence, which had a close relationship with the CIA, provided the United States with specific information on al-Zarqawi's whereabouts in Mosul and Ramadi. The Americans refused to act, and the conclusion from the Atlantic Monthly is the United States, and particularly the White House, saw al-Zarqawi as their man in Iraq.
This has been Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, Wag the Villain, the U.S. Invention of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, will continue next week. You can, our programs are archived at www.takingaim.info and on the WBAI website, www.wbai.org. You can reach us at takingaim@pacbell.net. That's PACBELL.net. We'll be with you next week.
Dear listeners, this is Indra Hardat, Interim General Manager of WBAI, and I would like to thank our staff, volunteers, producers, and all of you for supporting our recent spring fund drive. Our